So I'd like to talk to you today about serving God. And through looking at the example of Rahab, I'd like to try and answer three big questions. What should we use to serve God? Who benefits from us serving God? And when should we serve God? But I'd like to start firstly by taking a quick poll. With a show of hands, who has ever taken part in a general knowledge quiz or a pub quiz or something like that? Yeah, quite a lot of you. Keep your hands up if you enjoy a general knowledge quiz or a pub quiz. So quite a few of them like him. Not me. I do not like general knowledge quizzes. I don't like them because I'm rubbish at them. My general knowledge is appalling. There's always like a film round, and I don't know anything about films. There's always like a book round, and I don't read books. And even on the rounds I think I'd be good at, I'm still pretty useless. Because when they say it's the sport round, I'm like, oh, okay, wow, I'm going to be useful to the team here. I know a lot about sport. But then the question will be something like, who won the 1986 FA Cup final? And I'm like, I wasn't even born then. How am I going to know that? So I do not like general knowledge quizzes. But some people, and I'm guessing a few of you are the people who like them, are brilliant at them. Your head is full of essentially useless knowledge. Like, I don't know why you know the answers to these obscure questions. You probably don't know why you know the answers to these obscure questions, but you do, and in pub quiz situations, it comes in amazingly useful. And I think we can apply that to the story of Rahab today, in that she uses a skill I bet she thought never would be useful to serve God. So looking at what we should use to serve God, let's look at the skill Rahab actually uses, and it's a very interesting one. The skill she uses is lying. When the guards came to her house and asked, where are the spies? She knew they were up in her loft under the straw, but she said, no, they came, but they left. They're definitely not here. I don't know where they are, sorry. So this raises a very big dilemma in the Bible. Is this a contradiction in the Bible? Because the Ten Commandments teach us very, very clearly that lying is wrong, but Rahab lies to the guards. So is what she did right? Well, let's look at the exact circumstances. So what were the consequences of Rahab lying? I see two of them. So first of all, the spies were saved, because if she had said, oh yeah, they're up in my loft, they most certainly would have been captured and probably killed. The second consequence of her lie was that God's purpose was forwarded by her helping the Israelites destroy Jericho. So next time you're considering telling a lie to get yourself out of a job you don't want to do, or manipulate someone to give you something that's not really in their interest, just think, one, am I saving someone's life? Two, am I forwarding God's purpose? It's quite likely you're going to get a no to both of those. So overall, 99.9% of the time it is wrong to lie, but there are very extreme circumstances where it's okay. And Rahab would have been a good liar. Her job as a prostitute was a very, very grim job, but one where she essentially manipulated men. So she was the perfect person to lie to the guards, because as my terrible acting has demonstrated already this morning, when I say, oh yeah, they're not in my loft, you know that I'm lying. Whereas Rahab would have had much more panache and been much better at spinning that lie. So what skills should we use to serve God? I suggest that we make all our skills available to God. God will use things in you maybe didn't even know you had, if you live your life for God and make yourself available for his service. So what should we use to serve God? Anything and everything we have. On to the second big question. Who benefits from us serving God? So let's go through the story of Rahab again and see who benefits. First up, Rahab herself. As a result of her decision to serve God, she was saved from the destruction of her city. And also, the Bible tells us later on that she went on to go and live with the Israelites. And amazingly, Rahab became a part of Jesus' actual family line. So Rahab was massively blessed through deciding to serve God. Second of all, her family and friends benefited massively because they were also spared. The Bible tells us anyone who was in Rahab's house when she had the scarlet cord up was saved from the destruction of the city. And thirdly, the spies massively benefited from Rahab serving God. And the spies to her, you've got to think, they were essentially complete strangers to her. When they knocked on her door, she would have recognised them as people who looked a bit different from another place. And when a little bit of knowledge of the Israelites and God would have helped to distinguish them as people who were different. But they're essentially strangers to her. She'd only just met them in that instance. So strangers, people you don't even know, can benefit from you serving God. So if you serve God, you will benefit, your family and friends will benefit, and people you don't even know may benefit. Now, this all sounds a little bit too simple to me. You may be sitting there thinking, nah, that's just too simple, that's complete rubbish. And it is too simple, because if you choose to serve God, you yourself will suffer. If you're serving God with all your being, you will come up against some persecution. Your family and friends may reject you if you decide to follow God. Some people follow God, they end up losing friends, some sadly are distanced from their family because of it. And the third group of people, strangers, some people won't like you if you just say to them, I believe in the Bible, or I believe, I follow Jesus. Some people will take an instant dislike to you if you, proclaim that you follow Jesus. So do you benefit from serving God? Wouldn't you be better off just keeping your head down, keeping everyone sweet by not upsetting them? Is it the best decision to serve God? I'd like to answer that with a little story, but I'd like you to live the story with me. So if you could picture this with me now. So imagine you're in a building and you're there, all your family and friends are there, and a couple of people you don't know are also there. The building sets on fire. There's a roaring fire going on in the building, but only you notice it. Do you, A, throw yourself on the fire and just think, ah, forget it, like, we're all going to go down here, I can't be bothered to do anything? Or do you, B, scream and shout and warn everyone about the fire? I'm pretty sure you're going to do the second option. And this is one of the hardest things I've come up against when talking to my non-Christian friends. When I've explained what being a Christian's all about, what a follower of Jesus truly believes to my non-Christian friends, I've come up against this chain of logic a few times. So I explained to them, if you choose to follow Jesus, if you accept him as your saviour and put your faith in him, you will go to heaven and you will be saved. But if you choose to reject Jesus and take responsibility for your own sins, sadly, you will go to hell. Very heavy stuff, but it's what people need to hear. And a lot of my friends go, oh, well, if my family are going to hell, then I want to go to hell as well. I want to be with my family. And you can't really find too much fault in that logic, really. People want to be with their family and they want to be where they are. But is this really a helpful attitude? I'd like to say it definitely is not. It is the craziest, laziest, most complacent attitude you can possibly have. If you had the opportunity to warn your family and friends about impending danger, take it. You wouldn't just throw yourself on the fire. You'd warn them about the potential danger and try and save them. So, do people benefit from you serving God, even if they don't like you serving God? The answer is definitely yes. People are always better off with a saviour than without a saviour. Don't deny them that knowledge and that experience in their life. So who benefits from us serving God? The answer is everyone you come into contact with. So, final big question. When should we serve God? So again, let's go through the story of Rahab and look at her situation. It was not a very good one. So in Rahab's situation, she had a very bad occupation. When I was studying the story of Rahab in preparation for this, one thing that I kind of glossed over for years, I've been brought up in a Sunday school church environment. I've heard the story of Rahab before. And even, as Mark pointed out, the video omitted this bit of information. But she was a prostitute. And you kind of forget that, or at least I kind of don't notice that or don't process that properly when I read the story of Rahab. Because you think of Rahab as one of the good guys. She's like the hero in the story. She helped the spies, helped the Israelites. But then when you take a step back and think about what her day was like the day before, she had an incredibly grim life. She had an incredibly hard, emotionally and physical occupation that would not have put her in a good situation. And secondly, she was in a very threatening situation. Like, before she met the spies, she didn't know for sure that the Israelites weren't going to destroy her as well. When there's a massive, powerful army outside your city walls, you're going to be under a bit of stress. It's not the most calm situation. And also, she would have had the threat of Jericho's army if they had found out what she was doing. She was in a very threatening situation. And thirdly, she didn't actually have great knowledge of the situation either. She knew a little bit, like she knew that the God of the Israelites could perform miracles and she knew that they were powerful, but it wasn't like she had fantastic Bible knowledge or any sort of anyone sat down and really taught her what God's plans or purposes or the prophecies for the future were. So she did what she did with relatively little knowledge of the God she was serving. So how does this apply to us? When should we serve God? Or the bigger challenge is, do we ever put off serving God? I know personally that I am guilty of this. First of all, our occupation, our jobs nowadays make us very, very busy. We lead busy lives. A lot of us have got stressful jobs that take up a lot of our time and thinking. And we think, oh, I'm too busy to serve God. I can't help that person. I've got too much on. So we can hide behind our occupation. Thirdly, we can hide behind threatening situations. Some people will be incredibly hostile to you if you try and witness to them. You will face opposition if you live your life for Jesus. So you may think, oh, I'm not going to help that person. I'm not going to bother telling them about Jesus. They'll just get really angry and they're too hostile, so I won't bother. And thirdly, we can sometimes hide behind our lack of knowledge. It's very, very, like, I loved hearing from Peter. His testimony was absolutely fantastic, I think. And you're hearing from a lot of dyslexic people today because I can't read very well either. And like, I really struggle with reading. Like, I'm looking at notes, but I'm kind of saying this from memory. I can't read very well at all. And there are lots of people out there with better Bible knowledge, better science knowledge, better general knowledge, as I've already admitted, than I do. And we can hide behind our lack of knowledge, be like, oh, that person's really clever, I can't talk to them about God, they'll just bamboozle me, or I don't know enough about the Bible to witness yet, I'm just going to put it off, or I'm just going to learn a bit more, and then when I'm ready, I'll serve God. And these are all rubbish excuses, I'm afraid to tell you. But as we've heard already this morning, the Bible is full of people who would seem underqualified, would seem unlikely, but those are the people who God uses to fulfill his purpose. Know that you are ready to serve God now if you are willing. You have skills and abilities that are ready now. God will improve them over the years and strengthen them as you use them, but you are ready to serve God now. He wants you just the way you are. So finally, the very, very clear and simple answer: when should we serve God? Serve him now. Reap the benefits now. Live your life for God now. We have hundreds of little opportunities to serve God every day, and probably a couple of big ones as well. Make sure you are taking them. God can perform work in you beyond your wild expectations if you just let him. Cool. Well, that's all I've got to say. Let's pray to finish. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for the example of Rahab. Please help us to be not just hearers of your word, but doers also. Thank you for equipping us, and thank you for sending us out. Thank you for the privilege it is to serve you, and please help us to do so. Amen.